Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, we are. McNeil and Parkins on the score. Gallagher Way outside beautiful Wrigley Field before the last Cubs and Brewers game of the regular season. This might be a division series preview, so of course we want to hang out with our baseball reporter, Bruce Levine. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, guys. It's great to see you and Tom Ricketts schmoozing and working the crowd, doing what he does so well, making people feel at home and making people feel that the ownership of the team isn't so far away from the guy that's just walking in and seeing his second or third game of the year.
I thought you were going to book him for the show.
This is a precursor to this.
It's remarkable how good the Cubs are at bats and how much they get as a front office some simple public relations rules that other teams. It's escaped a lot of teams in this town over the years. And I was talking with Sherry about that this morning as we were listening to Theo Epstein on the Bernstein and McKnight show. That, man, it's refreshing to see a team get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I covered the Bears for 15 years, and that was, I'm told now that that was an easy time to cover them compared to what's going on now, where they actually tell you to stand on one foot, close one eye,
yeah,
not be able to report anything. And you know, I mean, the McCaskey family are a great family. They've been a great ownership, but the way they've gone about some of their, you know, relations with the media and, you know, just relating their message to the fan base, I've never understood it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be contentious.
It doesn't.
You know,
it doesn't.
Media want them to succeed anyway. It's better off for them.
I know the McCaskey family. I know a lot of them, and they're not like that as individuals, okay? But collectively, they've done this shutdown mode and the NFL way of protecting people against what? I mean,
yeah,
we all see the product every Sunday. It's either good or bad, right?
100%. And there was a Chuck Klosterman piece one time. He did a profile of the Browns, and he concluded it after he was promised 3 days of unobstructed access to profile a new regime. I think it was when Mike Lombardi was running the Browns. And he said in his entire career he had never been told that something was off the record more than his 3 days covering an NFL team. And he concluded at the end, I don't believe that they are constructing nuclear weapons in Berea, Ohio, but I can't say for sure. And, like, that's just the culture around NFL secrecy, and it's complete nonsense. But, Bruce, what did we learn today?
A lot of different stuff. Brandon, let's start with Brandon Morrow.
Okay.
Threw 35 pitches, got to about 90 three or four times, he told me. He said that he thinks the next step is a sim game, which means that even though the pain isn't, he still has discomfort, but no pain, if whatever that means. For all of us who've been injured over the years, maybe we can relate to it or not. He thinks he can throw through it, and the sim game could come up in a few days, 2 or 3 days. He's not going to be the closer, but he might be a piece of the bullpen by the end of the month that they can count on for an inning or a hitter or two at certain points.
Best case scenario early on, pitching in games that aren't close. That's what's been discussed, and I can't imagine Madden going in any other direction until he has a reason to.
I don't know, Mac, because if there's only a certain amount of bullets, you can't play around with them, right? I mean, you get him in there and you see if he's up to the task. If he's not, he's not going to be usable. You're not going to hurt the guy, number one. You're not going to hurt the team, number two. All these games are so important. The lead is so slight at this point. It looks even less than it is, actually, because it's 3 in the loss column. But, you know, tonight's game is huge as far as that loss column goes again. Can go back up to 4 tonight in the loss column over Milwaukee. 5 over St. Louis. Those are huge numbers when you only have 16, 17, and 18 games left.
After the Brewers made their big moves to augment their roster, did you think it made them good enough to be where they are this week?
I thought their theory was this, Mac. Outslug the other team. We already have tremendous power arms in the bullpen. we'll shorten the game, and we'll outscore other teams, and we'll win that way. And it's, you know what? It's kind of worked out. Their defense is horrendous. I mean, it's a bad defense.
Yeah.
Their starting pitching is mediocre, but they've had a good plan, and they've, you know, they're the second best team record-wise in the National League. They've been a really good team all year, and they're somebody that you just can't discount with 16 games left on their schedule.
Bruce Levine, our baseball reporter with us, McNeil and Parkins on the score. What did Joe say about D.C. and how this whole thing is being handled with the off day?
Mentally, you know, guys, forget about worrying about it. Just go there. We're planning on going. We're going to play a game. We're going to leave a number of our pitchers behind. We're going to leave Schwarber behind, some of the guys that are a little bit injured. We're going to go there for a day, come back, play the best game we can, and try to win that ball game, and just move on past the drama of should we be going or not. He doesn't want them to concentrate on, well, we're playing 30 days in a row, or we're scheduled 30 days in a row. Oh, woe is us.
Yeah, the suits have done enough. They've done ample complaining for the organization, and we in media have done our share of complaining. It's after 6 o'clock on the East Coast. I can't imagine any. They're playing tomorrow.
Right. And, you know, the resiliency of the Cubs is something that should be admired. They've had tremendous injury things to deal with, tremendous failures as far as somebody like Chatwood. The injury to Bryant has been almost season-long at this point. You look at Darvish, Chatwood combining for 5 wins all year. Darvish had the surgery today, debridement, arthroscopic debridement in his elbow. Should be good in probably a month or two, but certainly ready for spring training. But the things that they've overcome is impressive. And the way that Joe has handled the bullpen is tremendously impressive. And now the strength of the team appears to be the 4 starting pitchers, which is a good time for them to be expanding and getting into the 6th or 7th inning.
Do you think there's a scenario? You said 6th or 7th inning. We know baseball is going in the direction of bullpenning. We know Joe has had a quick hook before. But if the circle of trust in the bullpen is small, do you think he's going to let guys go a 3rd and, God forbid, even a 4th time through a lineup in the playoffs?
Absolutely. I don't see any reason not to, because right now that's the strength of the team. Now, we don't know Lester's back situation. He's scheduled to pitch Saturday. That date might be moved. I asked Joe that toward the end of his deal with us today. We don't know how those spasms are impacting him. But, you know, you look at Quintana the last 2 times out, a different pitcher, maybe the best he's pitched for them since he came to them last year and pitched a great game against Milwaukee his first start out. You look at Hendricks gaining momentum and gaining innings, not trying to jinx him for tonight. You look at the way that Hamels has pitched the whole time. That's the strength of the team right now. The bullpen is just on fumes right now. They've had to pitch way too much. Nobody's fault. Joe has had no choice when guys go 5 1/3. Even 6 innings, you still have 3 innings to cover every night. So I think this is Joe Maddon's very best job of a tremendous career so far with the Cubs. And the team, again, resilient, getting it done, not worried about wins or losses, but being prepared on that particular day.
We had I thought it was a fun conversation earlier in the show with former Cubs right-hander Steve Traxel.
I heard you accuse him of using steroids.
That 700 OPS.
Well, and that 91-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah.
He's hurt, by the way, the Cubs. And I think he's got a reason to be. The Cubs have never invited him to a convention. You mentioned Tyler Chatwood, and I couldn't help but think about this because I thought of Chatwood today when I was looking at the 98 Cubs salaries. Do you know Tyler Chatwood this year earns more than the entire Cubs starting rotation did 20 years ago?
Not shocking to me.
That's just crazy when you think about it.
And they had some pretty good pitchers.
Yes, they did. Kevin Tappany had a very productive year.
Yep. Such is life as we know it 20 years down the line.
Yeah.
20 years went like that when it comes to sports.
When it comes to life, not so much.
Not so much.
Had a lot of events in the last 20 years.
No question about it.
Yeah, Tappany was a little confused that he was talking to someone who was 12 during the 1998 season.
Yeah, absolutely. looking at the Cubs today, you know, and their readiness, I talked to 3 or 4 guys today, and they said, we're not worried about the Washington trip. we're just going to go, come back, show up again Friday. If we have to play at 120, so what? Joe is pretty upset about 30 scheduled games in a row, and who wouldn't be? It's a ridiculous amount. But from the Major League Baseball standpoint, they have very few options with the fact that tie games and ties for the wild card, ties for division, all have to be played out on that October 1st and 2nd.
So what is a solution for these scheduling issues? Is there one?
Yeah. Scheduled doubleheaders.
More doubleheaders.
Yeah. Doubleheaders.
They're not going to do that, though.
I know, but they should, because it worked perfectly back in the day. The day, you know.
These old-timers.
The day was before 1961 and 62 for the first expansion.
When you guys walked uphill both ways to the ballpark.
I walked up and back to school, 32 miles barefoot on 1 foot.
Of course you did.
But the reality, you know. Of course we did. But, Danny, the reality was Mondays and Thursdays were off.
Yeah.
They were off because they played doubleheaders every Sunday, okay? Mm-hmm. They played doubleheaders every holiday, you know. So you had 154-game schedule, and you had 2 days off a week. That's why you had four-man rotations at work.
I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, and I get why Joe's angry. I just don't think Major League Baseball is going to – they're going to change anything for them.
What would you do if you were them?
Major League Baseball? I'd make them play.
Okay.
Because
I would have bagged it yesterday.
But
then play it maybe on October 1st,
yes,
Monday?
If you're trying
to appease the Washington team that sold 35,000 tickets – and after to write checks out to all the people that bought tickets for the $2 to $3 million.
I know.
And what if it doesn't rain?
That's part of the storm
moved south.
Part of it is you have to show you're not being preferential to the Chicago Cubs during a pennant race.
Do the Cubs expect that?
No. But they might, because I think they've earned a degree of arrogance by being good for 4 years in a row. But do they deserve it? Probably not, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. But nobody should have to be scheduled 30 days in a row. I agree with that.
That's why it doesn't happen. Like, right. This is just a crazy set of circumstances that has aligned here. Anything else from in there that we need to know about tonight's game, Bruce?
Schwarber is on the heel. He's not ready to play for a few more days. So you keep your eye on that. A lot of questions about... the offense. I started it off by why it has, you know, you got a team that's leading in RBIs, runs, on base percentage, but they're only in the top third in slugging. Mm-hmm. This is a team that doesn't slug. It does all the other things right offensively. And will that have to be managed or dealt with differently in the offseason? Will you see a different look when the people come to them about Schwarber, about Happ, about Contreras, and different trades? Will this change the whole philosophy of how they look at their players going into next season?
Chase Anderson has given up, I believe, the most home runs in the National League this year. Maybe that offense will just wake up and the ball will be flying out of the yard tonight.
It would be nice because, you know, again, it's a totally different look offense. The fun part of it is some way, somehow, they've managed to be the best team in the National League. People shouldn't be spoiled by it. They should embrace it and enjoy these last 3 weeks.
All right.
Bruce, great stuff. Thank you very much. That segment with Bruce Levine brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. Also by Account Temps, payroll, bookkeeping, month end. Are you feeling short-staffed? Account Temps can provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary or project basis when you need them to help with increased workloads. Call us today or visit accounttemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. Let's hang out with our old partner. Our wives are here.
Okay, yes, our wives are here. Our former radio wife is here. Yeah, it's all kinds of wives. They throw the wives at you.
Matt Spiegel is going to come hang out with us next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, Matt Spiegel's here. Let's give away a prize. Be caller 7 to the Scores contest line at 312-591-6700. You win a free haircut at Sport Clips.
Don't get in his way.
I thought that me being here was prize enough.
I did too. Frankly. I thought that's where he was going.
Frankly, I have two of these to give away before the end of the show, and I've done zero.
So. I'm familiar with your usual pace. Go ahead, sir.
312-591-6700. Caller 7 right now.
Franchise.
And this segment, you guys are such jerks, is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. tickets for the Wolves' 25th anniversary season on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena.
I do so appreciate Matt Spiegel's outstanding memory this past Friday, Parksy, when we were broadcasting from O'Sullivan's Public House in the Western Burbs. Well, just right outside the city. It's not even Western Burbs, really. I sent Spiegs a text, and he comes back with the Bears-Packers. Is Dorsey Levin still in the top five leading rushers all time? Remembering a bit we did several years ago we did the Bears opponent.
I love that. I love that. Whenever the Bears opponent would come, Mac would have it, and I would get to play trivia.
Sure.
And he would perhaps forget that he'd asked me last year. And I might remember from the year before. So this week I'm thinking, top five rushers in Seattle Seahawks history, Kurt Warner.
Chris Warren. A real bad knee injury.
Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander, of course.
Yeah, Kurt Warner had a knee injury that truncated his career radically.
Ricky Waters?
No.
No chance?
No.
I don't know if he was there long enough.
No chance?
DJ Procise?
I'd be sure. Chris Carson?
How about Marshawn Lynch,
ladies and gentlemen? Lynch,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I'll say Alexander's still one, but that's not why you called. Listen,
no.
I have hot Bears postgame thoughts since Sunday night I've been holding on to.
Please.
And here it is Wednesday. No, actually, I remember tweeting at the end of that game that we'd all sort of get over this one a little bit by Wednesday. No, not so much.
Neither are some of the Bears. Prince Amukamara talked about it today. It just occurred to him yesterday watching the film. They blew a 20-point lead.
Yeah.
He had a big realization on that?
Yes,
he's like, I was watching it, and late in the third quarter, yeah. I saw it was 20-0.
Has he reconsidered his 15-yard cushion plan that he had for large portions of that game?
And we finally got to it today. Marcus mentions, man, we spent all that time, and I was more guilty than anybody of it, throwing bouquets in the direction of the defense. They gave up 21 fourth quarter points.
To a guy who couldn't move.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Actually, well, here I have one thought, though. That third and one, and we all know that, you know, that you shouldn't be throwing a pass on third and one when you're that close. But was it talked about, and as he talked about it, Matt Nagy, the mindset, when you see third and one, you should be thinking two plays. Right then, you should be thinking, I'm going to run it twice, get the first down, and put this freaking game out of touch.
Speaks.
Immediately. That should be your mindset immediately. Not, how can I get it here, and then I'll make a choice. No. Two plays, I got a yard and a quarter to get.
Well, right. In fairness, upon rewatch, the broadcast called it third and one. It was
a yard and a half.
Pretty close to a full two.
It was two.
Yeah.
It was two.
So run it twice.
Well, yes, absolutely. Doesn't change it.
And have that mindset as soon as you realize where you are, or even before, you should be thinking that way.
Right. The key is you have to run it the first time because of the clock and Green Bay's out of timeouts. And if you get the first down, great, game over.
Right.
If you lose yards, you can kick the field goal. But most likely you'll gain yards if you don't get it.
Sure.
And then you run again to win the game, because the scenario of taking away the two-minute warning and Aaron Rodgers beats you with a touchdown either way, whether you're up three or up six, you play for the win right there with Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. Honestly, you know how much I like the Matt Nagy hire.
Yeah, but that was disappointing. That was frightening.
It was,
frankly.
Because
you should be having that thought process. That should be dialed in by the time you get there.
And there was a timeout by Green Bay, so he had time to think about it.
First game is the head coach. I'm giving him a break on that one. I didn't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to give the quarterback the benefit of 2 years, don't we owe the head coach at least room for a week? If he does it again Monday or any time down the road.
But, Mac, in baseball terms, that's 10 games. That's 10.5 games. Which you give the new manager 10.5 games?
Well, there's lifetime and there's baseball time, Mac. Joe Morgan taught you that many years ago.
I'm not off Nagy, though. Like, you can make a horrible...
I'm done with him.
Right. See, that's the thing, right? You can make a horrible decision and still think that the system is going to be the best thing for Mitch Trubisky. It's all that matters in, like, the big picture sense.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I had to take you to Bears, because thoughts have been sitting around. They've been waiting.
No, I love it.
No, I'm glad you did. We've been doing Cubs for the last 45 minutes, and we've done a lot of Cubs today. It's good to have you on, and it's always good to talk Bears. You can't do wrong in this town talking Bears, ever. Ever.
Were you worried about Trubisky?
You,
I know Mac's thoughts on it. Like, are you worried about Trubisky?
I gave him his Sue name today. Dances without pressure.
Oh boy, that's trouble. And the eyes go down more than they should, and the precise accuracy seems to be there much more so on the run than when he's in the pocket. So there's three right there that I thought would look a little better by this time in his career.
I'm
even
with,
just what was it? What are we 13 games in?
The thing that I'll say is when it was scripted and he knew everything that was coming, he was awesome. And so it was game one in the new offense, right? It's two offenses in 2 years.
He's much easier for me to cut a break than Nagy is, frankly, because Nagy's been calling plays in this league for a little while.
Right. So now, I mean, he's not doing the situational stuff, right? Like the clock management stuff is not the job of the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. But I hear, listen, man, it was how I started Monday, the transition after the game. I couldn't get over it. Like, as a game theory thing, we both play poker, right?
Yeah.
The smartest win expectation thing to do is to run twice. Because that keeps Rodgers on the sideline.
Yes.
And Nagy blew it. Like, Kyle Fuller will drop an interception. Trubisky will miss a read. Those are physical errors.
Right. The biggest one that is a thought process error is that Nagy one, for sure.
That's what I started with on Monday.
God bless the internet. The Seattle Seahawks' top five career rushers are as follows.
Okay. Alexander one.
Sean Alexander is one, just shy of 10,000 yards. Chris Warren.
Chris Warren, my guy.
You got Chris Warren in there. Kurt Warner is third.
See?
Only played 6 years, but he managed to get to be number three. Marshawn Lynch
with
is
Dave
fourth.
Craig as his quarterback for part of the time.
Go to number 17. We'd be here a while for number five. John Williams. He was a fullback, wasn't he?
Yeah, John L.
Johnny
Williams.
Williams was a fullback.
Been there a long time.
Texters are telling me, though, that Ricky Waters comes in only 500 yards behind Williams for number six.
Yeah, he is number six. Yeah,
not a terrible guess.
No, it wasn't a terrible guess. For
Ricky Waters
that was born in 1976.
I believe Ricky Waters is still a trivia answer. The guy get 1,000 yards for three different teams. Isn't that's? I believe Ricky Waters has that.
Solid trivia question.
And I don't know if anyone's tied it, but I'm pretty sure he was the lone guy on that list for a while.
I loved Ricky Waters. He was knees and he was elbows and he was all over the place and he was fun to watch.
Mac, this is your band playing over here. Did you hire these guys? I've heard Aerosmith, I've heard Zeppelin, I've heard Tom Petty. I'm not sure if I heard AC/DC because it probably sounded a lot like a lot of other AC/DC songs, and I just can't tell exactly what's going on.
Yeah, they can play My Block Party.
Yeah, it seems like these are your guys.
Anniversary of the release of Aerosmith's Pump album today in 1989.
Danny Parkins, your thoughts?
I favored the first.
You should have heard me earlier with the drummer's 66th birthday from earlier, the Rush drummer.
Oh, Neil Peart.
Neil Peart's
or
birthday.
Or Peart, excuse me.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. I corrected him.
Yeah, Parkins favors the John Rutsey era of Rush drummers.
Long time John Rutsey guy.
Which Aerosmith era for you?
None of them, really.
Wow. Well,
I mean, in terms of early
okay.
In terms of, in terms of lasting credibility, I'd go early. I mean, Sweet Emotion is freaking brilliant. There's several tracks that are awfully good and stick with me, but I do not choose to go in that direction.
Okay, tribute or ever become Aerosmith?
Have not. And I'm a
doesn't sound like it's on.
Well, maybe without me. I'm a bad matchup for young Steven Tyler as well, as most humans are, vocally.
You know? Can I pull a baseball thought out of you?
Yes, or you go. Well, no, I was down there listening to Joe Maddon. I know you just talked to Bruce, but I didn't hear if you guys addressed that every conversation about the back end of the Cubs bullpen down there, whether it was asked or not, he worked Carl Edwards Jr.'s name in. He continues to work his name in, at least verbally. I guess that's the only way he can do it, the way I'm talking about it. But at least he needs to work his name in and verbally consider him as somebody he could maybe get right and trust again. And I think that ship has completely and utterly sailed. You saw what it was last year in the postseason. You've seen what it is this stretch. You see the way he describes it, like a guy who talks for a living, not being able to think of a word. He can't put his finger on what it is he is in chaos because of. He can't figure it out. That is extremely distressing, and I don't know how you trust that again.
I feel you. We played the audio from your question at Del Frisco's when we had him there yesterday.
I was stunned by that reaction, that a professional athlete has that much uncertainty when he takes the ball in a professional. It sounds like us when we take our driver to the tee box as, you know, high handicappers. What? And this is a guy who's a valuable component.
Well, and some folks have since come back and said that, look, a lot of pitchers will talk about that the bullpen mound is different than the pitching mound. But it was just the way that he talked about it and kind of the lack of insight is troubling. And it reminded me of our conversations with Gordon Beckham years ago, who repeatedly did not have any insight as to what was going wrong with him. And when certain ball players get in a spot like that where they can't even figure out what to work on, I don't see the end.
But that's been a thing for him since he's been here.
I agree.
And since he's been here, he's had stretches of being great. And there are scenarios that I could see thinking there's no one better. Well, like, if you need to strike out a right-hander with men on base, you're telling me that you've got a guy that you need to swing and a miss from because a sacrifice fly ties the game?
C-Sheck will be a, should be a choice before that.
Justin Wilson,
even against a righty, will be a choice before that. Brandon Morrow, hopefully, will be a choice before that. And if that's the case, that's three.
I don't know about C-Sheck for a strikeout. He's been great, and he's being used in a ton of scenarios this year. I'm with you on Wilson, right? Wilson is locked in right now and looks great, and his split numbers are there.
But in terms of righties to trust in that pen, it'll be C-Sheck. If Morrow can come back, I don't know that there's a spot for Carl Edwards Jr. on the playoff roster. And the way that Madden feels about him, I might feel better if he's not on the roster. So Joe won't be tempted to try and believe that he is right when he's not going to be right.
I think that it's a...
Scarred.
It's a hell of an argument. I think he's going to get into the game tonight in a close spot.
Well,
I think Joe's going to try to pitch him back into there.
He's still doing it. He's still trying to get him in there, and now they've got the gigantic two-game lead so he can use tonight and try to get him in there and give him another shot.
It does seem enormous.
Oh, it's three in the Walsh column, boys.
What a big pile of games. Almost. It's almost a stack.
I still think they're going to make the World Series, this Cubs team. I think it'll be Cubs-Red Sox in the World Series we have deserved for many, many, many decades. And it needs to happen sometime in this window before they get bad again.
Right, and while Theo's still in charge.
Yes.
Yeah,
For Herb Spiegel's sake.
That's exactly right. It's time, and I will blow Herb's life savings to go to every single game of that series.
Would you go to every game?
I would try to, yes. I would try to use...
That'd be very expensive.
Probably. Well, I went to six of the 2016, six of the seven, four as media and two as a fan.
Well, the media ones are cheaper.
That is absolutely true.
I've always found that to be the case. Credentials help.
Learn from the master.
Trust me.
Also, Parkins, write a book. You wrote a book, didn't you? Write a book, and then you can use it to pay for parking at various sporting venues around town.
It's terrific toilet reading, the Book of Chicago Sports List.
I love that story twist.
It's so true, though.
No,
I was there. I was sitting next to you, Mac. We're pulling into the Blackhawks game.
Joe wanted a copy of the book.
He didn't ask. He didn't ask.
The
window was open. Hey, how are you? What's going on? Hey, Joe, by the way, here you go. Here you go there. And you handed it over unrequested,
like
sir.
Like it's Halloween. Oh, you're at my door? Here's a book.
Here's an apple.
What a coincidence. Here's a Butterfinger. I love these.
The book is a tip or a form of currency and the mustard belt. I love how some things just live forever.
Oh, yeah, that's the life that we've chosen, whether they're true or not.
This
right?
is the life we've chosen.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
Speaking of the life we've chosen, I get to continue that radio life a little bit. Starting this Saturday, I am with Bruce Levine for Inside the Clubhouse on Saturdays now.
Very cool.
On 670 The Score. So that's 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. And then I'm with the always smiling Steve Rosenblum for 2 hours and change. After that,
good luck
so
with that.
I love Rosie.
I do too.
In my car and on my laptop. I do.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, you say that you guys didn't work together well.
His columns on the Bears this week.
Yeah, he takes
been, you know,
axes to people.
Yeah,
it's not a scalpel.
I love a blade wielder, but when it's every day. For 700 words, come on.
He takes a lot of blades.
Feel free to give us a call on Saturday, Mac. 312-644-6700.
I'll be consuming, though.
Well,
that's
the
Wake and Bake show that he prides himself on.
Which is I'd feel very comfortable on.
You'll be fine.
But I probably shouldn't do that to work with Bruce first.
Right.
You know?
Well, Mac smokes at the end of most hours, so you can zip down, zip up, and you'll be fine.
You can smoke with Bruce.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
See?
I don't know about 2018, but I know about 2001 at an all-star festivities in Seattle.
So, do you miss Can't Do It, by the way? That was today.
You know, how'd that go today?
Everything good? Not our best edition. But sometimes it's the questions, and sometimes
sure,
it's...
Sure, blame the listeners.
Yeah,
I know. Good job, Danny.
My likability's through the charts these days.
You're not going to be the franchise for long.
Oh, God.
Is your likability in trouble?
Oh, no. It's fine. But, yeah, Mac calling me the franchise, it's said with a degree of, we'll see if you're still here in 6 months, kid.
You think so?
No, I just, you know, the way you said earlier today that you and I would last 5 years, but you had 10 more years in the
business. Yeah, I want to win the 20s.
He wants to, win the 20s.
I want to become the first guy in town to win two decades.
That's a great goal.
Yeah, and I think you might be able to help me do that.
I'm going to do my best. Yeah. I'm going to do my absolute best.
Wow. Everything okay?
We're going to the game tonight. We got a double date.
Oh, you're in the good seats?
We're in the good seats with the wives.
I used to get those.
Yeah, the wives over there right now just flapping their jaws away, and I hope that continues because you know how it is after 5 hours of gum flappage. You want to decompress. Tell me about your commute. Feet up. There's the mechanic. The floor is yours. Keep talking, ladies.
Yeah, man, so the press pass thing will be tricky if it's Cubs Red Sox to pull off for Herb, right? You'll have to get him
for
in.
For Herb?
You'll get him in on it.
I would not try to get Herb in on a press pass.
He can have mine.
No,
that's a lifetime thing.
He's 85 years old. People would wonder.
Right. Bruce, this one?
Oh, no. Bruce is a fit and spry man, much younger than that.
Then why is he on the $10 bill?
Is it the 10? Well, see, Gammons is on the 20.
I forgot that.
Yeah, Peter Gammons is on the 20. Who is the 10? I don't even remember who the 10 is
now. I thought it was
Brucius. It's possible. But, yeah, my dad kind of, you know, limping around on his two fake knees and his one fake hip through the clubhouse might kind of be a red flag.
We've never seen you here before. That's just old Herb.
I'm working for the radio. I'm stringing for ABC. That's what I'm doing.
Him grobbers. It's perfect. Well, enjoy the Saturday show. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Absolutely,
thank
guys.
You.
It's thank
good
to
you.
See you. Thanks for having me, and I'll see you guys soon. Enjoy the game tonight in the seats I used to get.
You're the best and the worst. We will talk to Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Transition with Lawrence Holmes, brought to you by Subway. Check out three signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style of the turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste with the Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the buffalo chicken wrap. Subway, make it what you want. Limited time only at participating locations. And also, caller number 5 to The Score's contest line at 312-591-6700. You win a free haircut at Sport Clips. That's 312-591-6700. Caller number 5 right now. What's up, Lawrence Holmes?
Hello, men. How is Wrigley Field in Galloway?
It's outstanding. Gallagher Way is just outstanding today. Lots of people already roaming around. Lots of Score listeners. We've had a wonderful time out here. Eric Kratz, the Brewers catcher, is an absolute delight, and I look forward to his broadcast career once he finally hangs up the shin guards and chest protector. He is just something else. Real-life Crash Davis was with us today. Steve Traxel was on the show, Albert Almora, a bunch of our guys. And we did have time to squeeze in a little Bears. Mark Grody was on the show, and we had an update on how the Bears are feeling about themselves. Mixed reactions from players today, as you would expect. Some still gritting their teeth over what happened Sunday night. Some already advancing toward Seattle and seeing what Dances Without Pressure can do against the Seahawks defense.
Is that the nickname that you're settled on?
That's his Sioux name, until proven otherwise. That is what troubles me most about Mitch Trubisky, and it has nothing to do with being in different systems. It's quarterback fundamentals, regardless of the system. You got to stand in that pocket and wait a while. You got to be patient. You can't be looking to bring the ball down and start running after you don't see anybody at one look.
I want him to do this with conviction. That's my thing, is see it and throw it and be confident, young man. You got the arm talent. Go out there and throw that thing.
Yeah, I think it does come with conviction in a system, because that was not in his, you know, draft negatives from North Carolina, and he was there for years on the bench, and he knew the system, and he got in, and he was great, and he completed 70% of his passes. So it's not like happy feet is something that he's known for. So when the scripted plays happened at the beginning of the game, you know, he missed the throw to Robinson on the second drive, and then the still frame that was going around and making Twitter go crazy after the miss to Robinson. Obviously another bad read, but it wasn't his first read, and I don't think it was as bad as the still image made it, but clearly he should have made the throw. Once he got out of the scripted plays, he got much worse. When he was in the scripted plays, he looked really good. That tells me that when he gets more comfortable with the system, and it was game one in the system, it's two offensive systems in 2 years, I have no reason to believe that that's going to be a thing that we'll be talking about in game 14 like we are in game one. I mean, I understand that that's optimistic, but it just wasn't in his profile before, so I don't think it's going to randomly creep up now.
Yeah, but it's a different level, Danny, that we're talking about. And some of the things that we saw on Sunday were things that we saw in a worse system last year, a system where he was handcuffed a bit. What concerns me is lack of conviction, number one, but what the Packers did to him, and with him being a little bit confused, not just to where the reads were in the offense, but what a zone look looks like. And he said it after the game, and it's funny because he had talked about that last year too, where there were things that they weren't expecting, and those things got to him. And my thing is you had 4 months to game plan for the Packers, and you look great on your first two drives. You got a week to get ready for Seattle. Will the script look as crisp against the Seahawks as it did against Green Bay?
I would bet yes. I don't know what you guys would bet, but I bet they look good again early. That would be my expectation.
My expectation is that they look better, yes. I look as good as they did, hopefully for more than a quarter and a half this week. Lawrence, we're about out of time. What do you have coming up in your shorty tonight?
I want to talk about the fact that this game hasn't been canceled for tomorrow, because I think it's really silly that we're even thinking about sending the Cubs to Washington and them trying to get them out of there. And I know the hurricane has gone a little bit south. BMAC and I were talking about a creative solution to the problem, so I'll discuss that after 6 o'clock.
Sounds good. This segment also was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Wolves' 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena. Spiegs, Bruce, Grody, Almora, Kratz,
Casper.
Traxel.
Good old number 46. 29 is a Met. 46 is a Cub. Shame on me.
That's a lot of guests. Great job by our executive producer, Nick Shepkowski. Chris Tannehill, fantastic work back in the studio as well. I know BMAC was helping out. I know Tony Gill was in all day. Thank you to Brian Gersh. He did a video stream for us on the Facebook Live page out here at Gallagher Way. Rich Wyatt, doing a great job. How'd the
thanks, man.
How'd this mic work out for you? Pretty good? B minus.
For a wraparound, it was okay.
For a wraparound.
Okay.
Yeah. The man knows his audio, Dan McNeil does. Thank you to our entire promotions team that was out here as well. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. Lawrence Holmes is coming up next. This is The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.